was going to be a day that I was going to have to give up alcohol. I didn't know when or how, or, you know, I didn't know all the details, and you don't ever know all the details. You just know in your gut, like, this isn't working for me anymore.
Hey mama, welcome to the Balanced Mom Method podcast, a safe space to help you transform the way that you approach motherhood and life. If you're a mom struggling with self-worth, overwhelmed with overstimulation, looking to slow down, conquer mom guilt, let go of external pressures, or even embark on a spiritual awakening, you are in the right place. Let's break free from that survival mode cycle by waking up from autopilot and authentically embracing our inner self-love, trust, and connection. Imagine if every single part of your life was perceived through a lens of expansion, value, worthiness, self-awareness, and acceptance. Hey, I'm Jenna, and I've been where you are. I was consumed in the struggles of motherhood and was always in my own head, never feeling good enough. I realized if I wanted to make a change, it started within me. And in finding that freedom, I've dedicated my life's work to helping other moms heal from the inside out to come back home to themselves too. So take my hand, mama. Let's set the foundation to live an intentional life full of peace, presence, confidence, clarity, belief, joy, love, and balance. If you are ready to weed the fluff, get to the root of cultivating real change, and feel connected to yourself on a love-rooted level, let's dive in and discover the power within you. Warm up that cold coffee, pop in your earbuds, and tighten that top knot, mama. Let's overcome together. Hello, hello, beautiful mamas, and welcome back to another episode of the Balanced Mom Method podcast. Today, we have the privilege of having quite an inspiring journey of resilience and transformation with an extraordinary guest with us today. Joining us is Courtney Anderson, a voice of empowerment in the world of sobriety. As a sober life coach, a podcast host, and an author herself, Courtney has devoted her life to helping high-achieving women liberate themselves from the grip of alcohol. That is just so powerful. And help them discover just the joys of thriving in society, in sobriety. So the founder of Sober Vibes and National Sober Day, again, so incredible. Her journey herself from her personal struggles of becoming just that guiding force in the sobriety movement is a testament to the transformative power of embracing a sober life. So today I can't wait to explore just her invaluable perspectives on topics ranging from conquering addiction to redefining the fun in sobriety, navigating kind of those beginning stages and those beginning days, and also challenging the societal norms around alcohol, just in parenting and business and life. So I want to pass the mic over to you, Courtney. I would love for you to just share a little bit more about yourself and your journey to where you're at today.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for that awesome introduction. I really appreciate it. So I'm glad to be here. And, you know, my journey started on August 18th of 2012. And that was the day that I woke up and like, that was my day of no more drinking alcohol. I woke up for the last time in a massive hangover, of course. And my girlfriend telling me that she was like, okay, you lost your cat. She was like, and your boyfriend is pissed. And I was like, yeah. Like I was still on the couch, you know, still very drunk from the night before. And so when I came to a little bit later, I did find out I lost my rescue cat for the second time. And my boyfriend was pissed. He was pissed. And come to find out, this had happened before. So I went out to smoke a cigarette and I left the sliding glass door open and my cat took off. Mm-hmm. And I also was threatening my boyfriend's life in a complete blackout mm-hmm. that evening after he discussed, because it was my last night working at the bar I worked at for years, and I was transitioning full time into the medical field. Mm-hmm. So he had already asked me, like, please don't start drinking once you get there. And I was like, yeah, I won't. And of course I did. So it was like a million other nights before, but it was just the point where it was time for me to give up alcohol. I laid there in a hangover for 3 days. And I said to myself, you know, like, if I find my cat, I will give up drinking for good. During those three times too, my boyfriend had said to me, he was like, you can continue to drink, but I'm not going to be in this relationship anymore. Like, I can't live like this. Mm-hmm. So I found my cat after 3 days and mm-hmm. I haven't touched alcohol since August 17th of 2012. So that 18th is my day one.
Oh my, I already have tears in my eyes. I oh my gosh, that I feel like, so to some degree, to some level, I feel like we all can relate to just those feelings of, let it be an actual hangover, but just those feelings of like hitting that rock bottom, right?
Yeah. And that wasn't even honestly like my worst rock bottom. I had a way worse, you know, but at 25 years old, I knew I had woken up a night after drinking and I knew there was going to be a day that I was going to have to give up alcohol. I didn't know when or how, or, you know, I didn't know all the details, and you don't ever know all the details. You just know in your gut, like, this isn't working for me anymore. Mm-hmm. So that was at 25. And then at 29, I was about 6 weeks shy of being 30, and I gave up alcohol, you know, and now I'm 41 years old mm-hmm. and went through my whole 30s without a drop to drink.
That's incredible. Did you have kids?
No, I actually okay. just had, I had my kid at 38.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just curious kind of how, cause with me, like I have had not like these blackout, oh my gosh, nights, but just like where I would have a few drinks and it's like, you'd wake up the next morning and it's like, why would I put myself in that position? Or why would I put my children, more importantly, like in a position like that? And it's, I can't wait to discuss this further. Cause I do feel that there is, cause we even talked about a little bit, like that mommy wine culture or whatever, like that stigma is. So were there other, just kind of to really dive into your story a little more, like, were there other pivotal moments that led like to this, to overcoming this 10-year journey? I know like that day you're like, okay, this is it. But like, did you say that you were going to do before and you lapsed or things like that?
Yeah. So from 25 to 29, what I did was I tried to moderate my drinking. And that's what in those 4 years, what happened was it kept showing me where it always led back, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it was like a severe hangover that led me after 25, I started to get panic attacks mm-hmm. with my hangovers, with that anxiety that turned into panic attacks. And I would sit there all day hungover for 1 to 2 days, like honestly, with this like crippling anxiety feeling like I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. And one time my girlfriend took me to the urgent clinic because I legit thought I was having a heart attack, but it really was just, it was a panic attack because I was on a 3-day bender from cocaine and alcohol. So like, mm-hmm. yes, I should be having a panic attack at right. this point, you know? because it's part of the detox and you just right. put poisonous chemicals in your body. Like, so from 25 to 29, it really, like, I have to say I had a bunch of pivotal moments, but it was between from 25 to 29 where it was, you just get good and tired. You get tired to a point where you're like, again, this keeps showing me what it does to me and how I react to it. And like, I'm tired of that cycle because that's what it becomes. It becomes this cycle where you are so chained down by alcohol and your world becomes a lot smaller. And then there's just missed opportunities. There's waking up. Granted, I didn't have kids, but I, when my son was 3 months old, he was not sleeping. And I saw in a moment at like 2 a.m. and I'm like, I understand why moms go to alcohol. Mm-hmm. I get it. I got it. Right. So like, even to what you just saying, like, or just like waking up and having like little brownouts or whatnot with your kids, or being like being so hungover or having that hangover the next day where you're like shushing them aside because you just don't want, you can't deal. Right. So it really was just me trying to moderate it. I tried to stop drinking whiskey. I tried to be like, okay, just stick to beer tonight. Don't mix anything. Courtney, you got to eat because God knows, we know the problem is when you don't eat alcohol, it's an issue, right? Like, it's all of that. I'm only going to drink on Fridays. And putting all of those rules on it, it then just becomes, again, exhausting and you being in the cycle. So for me, I knew at that point at 29, it's like, I just lost my rescue cat for a second time. This is one relationship I want to make work. Mm-hmm. And I now know better. I have an awareness of where this is going to keep going. And for me, it would have eventually led to death. You know, I know people think that that sounds dramatic, but for a lot of people, it's a matter of life or death. And more people are actually dying from younger age because of their drinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could totally see that. And with what you're saying with that cycle, everything that you're saying, I was like 100%, because it's like you wake up that next morning
And then, oh, why did I put myself in that position? And then you're like, oh my, why did I put my kids in that position? The guilt, the lack of patience, what you were saying, because the next day, you're not yourself either. You're not present. You're not being able to be fully there in yourself for your children, let alone yourself. And it's just like that pit in your stomach. I've been there like 100%. So this is, yeah, it's definitely, it was eye-opening for me. Like when I brought my kids into the situation, right? Because it's like, I don't want to put them one in harm's way first and foremost, but then two, it's like that next day, I don't want the guilt. I don't want the lack of presence and things like that.
Yeah. And with what that awareness that you're having and all of that, that's a beautiful thing because, I mean, I don't know your upbringing, but here's the thing. If it did happen in your family or anybody who's listening to this, you are breaking generational patterns and dysfunction and all of that. You know, I grew up with a functioning alcoholic in the home and a lot of mental illness and all of that. And it's like, you know what? It started at me. I was the first one to quit drinking in my family. At 29, like, and my boyfriend and I, who he is my husband today, and we have, you know, my 2-year-old, but when him and I sat in that first year, we brought up, like, he quit drinking with me. He didn't have a problem, but alcohol affected him in a very negative way in his upbringing. So he just got to the point, he was like, there's no joy that comes out of this. And we sat there and we're like, you know, when we have kids one day, our kid, we don't want them to grow up with parents who are always choosing booze over them. And that's so important for parents to understand. Your children, your relationship with alcohol, your children will probably have that same relationship when they're grow up. It's about a 50%, it's 50-50 of genetics and what is shown. Also too, men who come from alcoholic fathers have more, they have a 90% chance higher to become an alcoholic themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. So like the stats are there, you know, whether you don't, you know, there's, it's now called alcohol use disorder and it's a spectrum. You know, I know alcoholism now is like more outdated, but it's just, it's there. It's, and so even too, if you're just coming home and drinking every night, what are you modeling to your kids? Even if it's just a couple glasses of wine,
right?
That's how they're going to see we come home and this is how we unwind after a day at work with alcohol.
Sure. Well, and that's just thinking like, that's how it was normalized in my upbringing. My mom actually doesn't drink at all. So it's beautiful how my mom and dad are because she is so like, she's going to listen to this episode too. So love you, mom. But like, she's just so like, she's always been sober, which is amazing because my sister and I gave her a big run for her money. And that is so empowering in itself. But I grew up with my, like, it was just around, like my father would have a drink at night or whatever. So it makes a lot of sense with what you're saying, 100%. Yeah. So question kind of to segue from here, like, with to dive deeper into like the mindset piece, like how did you within like that mindset of the limiting beliefs that I can't do it, how did you overcome, like what strategies helped to keep your mindset in a good place to get through those first 90 days of sobriety?
Well, I have to say it was at about 90 days that Matt and I went and got coffee and sat in a bench and drank coffee on a Friday night. And I would just people watch in this town that we live by. And I'm like, I knew in that, I was like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I actually found some joy in just sitting there and people watching and drinking a coffee. And I was like, and I looked at him and I was like, is this what normal people do? Because I'm used to like my Friday night was like, that's the nights I drank, like, you know, and he was like, yeah, like, you know, and I was like, okay. And too, in that night, that's when he said he knew he could marry me because he knew that I was going to live a sober life from that evening. So what happens in sobriety is you gain this amazing clarity. Okay. It might happen in a couple of days. It might happen in a couple of months, but in that clarity, you actually start to see the lies that alcohol has told us, and that the lies we were sold, right? Like how you can only have fun with alcohol, you know, how sobriety is boring and like, what do you do for fun and all of this stuff. And like going back into that moment, me being able to sit there on a Friday night with a calm nervous system and just like enjoying just like with some fresh air on my face and people watching, I was like, oh, this is fun. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is you start evaluating what your fun is. And when a lot of people are like, oh, sobriety is boring, it's not actual sobriety. It's the fact that you are no longer living in chaos. Mm-hmm. And that is something that you might have been doing for 20 years. You might have been conditioned to live in chaos since the day you were born of your upbringing, you know? So it's hard for people to sit still, but that's what you have to realize. Or like, you're not going on the apology tour anymore of, you know, saying sorry to all the people you pissed off the night before, or being like, oh my God, what did I do, in hiding in your covers or dry heaving all the next day, or sitting there living with anxiety. You're not living in that state. So it feels foreign to you. Mm-hmm. So that's really what people have to understand. It's like, here's the mindset here. When people quit drinking alcohol, they have two lives in one. Order of substance or whatever their drug of choice is, let's just say. You now get to live a life that you're going to choose and design for you. And isn't that fun? That you no longer have to sit there and be tied to that past life because you were tied to a substance and that controlled your drinking, your every day. Like, and when you give up alcohol too, you're just, your world becomes so much bigger. So that's where the mindset comes into of stop focusing on what you're going to miss out on and focus on what you're gaining. Mm-hmm. Even if you're just gaining self-respect every day and no longer living in anxiety. And then in 30 days, you might be like, oh my God, I'm gaining this. Like, it's like a one thing at a time you got to focus on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love that. I feel like alcohol and my healing journey, like the past few years, it's been like monumental, like everything that you're saying, like the clarity that you have and like the world slows down. I remember telling my husband, and this is something I'll never forget, like telling my husband, like, why am I trying to numb out my life?
Yeah.
Like, I want to feel everything. Like I want to feel, like, I want to feel the heart. I want to, like, you don't want to shove it under the rug. And like, that's a huge part of the show, right? Like, we're pulling stuff out from under the rug because like, we want to come back home to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So why, you know, yeah. Okay. It's fun in the moment. And I will say, like, I'm not sober, but it definitely took a huge turn for me when I like had that like epiphany moment of like, I want to feel myself, like everything, you know?
Yeah. And well, and two, for women, what we have our second clock. So like alcohol and our hormones and cycles, that's another thing that doesn't go hand in hand. And when you start numbing that out, you're numbing out your womanly energy. You know what I mean? So like, I hear you when you say that of like, why am I going to want to numb out my life? Same thing. Like, I don't like to live in like, oh my God, time flies so fast when you have kids. I've been trying because I've heard that for so long. Mm-hmm. And so when I had my little dictator at 38, I was like, I'm going to stay present for this. I'm not going to live in like, oh, I can't wait till this moment. And I'm like, I'm not going to be like, time goes by fast. Right. But he just turned 2 in September. And I just had one of those moments to be like, I'm so happy I've been physically present for him, right? Like physically and emotionally present. And I hear it from a lot of women who are older and where they say when they've quit drinking at later on in life, where they're like, you are so fortunate to living an alcohol-free life when your baby is that small, because they're like, that's moments you don't get back. And that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. These are moments you don't get back. Like, so be present for them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. 100%. Like that's my number one like goal. Like I have a break on social media because I was in that addiction consuming. I need to build my business, but then I'd get stuck in the scroll, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I took a break in the summer and that has been a whole other story, like a weight lift of those expectations and things. So let's talk about some challenges, you know, cause this is very, like we're talking like once you've been like, you're sober. Now let's kind of reel it back a little bit. Like what hurdles did you have to overcome? Like hearing that a mom that's struggling right now, what would she want to hear, like, to empower her forward?
Yeah, that it's okay to struggle. I think that everyone thinks that it's like, we shouldn't be struggling, right? Like, when I say it's okay to struggle, you have to look at where you're at currently, mm-hmm. right? Because life is not all about unicorns and scrunchies. And like, listen, if you try to, it's not the first time you quit drinking, it's not going to be the last time. It's going to take you a little bit because mm-hmm. it's so socially acceptable in our society. A lot of people are enabled. It's, why can't you just have one drink? What's wrong with you? Oh, you can just have a one drink, blah, blah, blah. It, like, you know what? Like, mm-hmm. I could show up to Christmas and start drinking, but if I showed up and started using heroin or snorting cocaine, it would be like, what is wrong with you?
Right.
What are you doing? But mm-hmm. if I sat there and drank a glass of wine, no one would say anything. Mm-hmm. And that's of how it is weaved into family dynamics in our society, and that it's legal and all of this stuff, you know? So to the person who's listening, who's struggling, you are seen mm-hmm. and you can get past this, but it's going to take you to do the work. Nobody is coming to save anybody besides themselves, you know? And I think that's what I want people to understand. It's like, you got to do some work. You got to put in some elbow grease in this. And I just did a post on my Instagram account today and like listed off the things that have kept me sober for 11 years. And it wasn't like walking every day. It was, I stopped lying to myself. Mm-hmm. I received help in the times that I needed to receive help. I unsubscribed from the toxic alcohol culture that is in our society, right? Like, and I have continuously tried to heal myself and figured out why I started drinking in the first place. Mm-hmm. But I think in the early days, especially the first 90 days up to a year, you just got to focus on that drinking today. Mm-hmm. So that's what, if somebody was struggling and needed to hear that, that's what I would say. And just, again, you're human. So if you have a little bump in the road, you know, everyone thinks that sobriety is a pass fail and it's not. And mm-hmm. I don't know, I think that was just something that has come out of recovery spaces, that you got to get this right. And it's like, no, you got to figure out what works best for you. And mm-hmm. so I empower anybody to figure out in their sober journey what works best for them. Mm-hmm. Because going to AA might work for you, but it's not going to work for me. You know what I mean? Like, just sure. Everybody's different. You got to find your own path. That's why in my book too, I have it specifically tailored to figure this out of what works best for you.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And that's so true. Like, there's nothing cookie cutter, black and white. And,
no.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. no. And we're living in 2023. We're not living in the 40s. Like, that's sure. the whole thing. Like, you know, because there are stuff, this isn't a knock to anything. This is just the reality. And I have used 12-step programs in my recovery, but it just sometimes doesn't translate well to what is 2023 now, you know what I mean? And like the levels of like sobriety and recovery, like some people think you're not sober if you're on prescription medication. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because that is what it was formed to back in the 40s when the people, antidepressants weren't a thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, you yeah. went to a quote unquote loony bin if something was wrong with you. So like, it's just different. So that's what you have to figure out what works best for you.
Yeah. So in your journey, how mm-hmm. like, did you obviously struggled. So if you want to like go into that grieving process, right. Mm-hmm. But then also, how did that grieving process contribute to that self-discovery and like that day sitting on the bench, sipping your coffee? And like, okay, I'm here.
Well, yeah, that grieving process, because you do go through one in your sobriety mm-hmm. and it is, you allow yourself to cry. I mean, I have screamed in my car driving of just like, I allowed myself to feel feelings mm-hmm. and not shy away or push it down. Or I would have, I mean, shower cries are the best. I had so many shower cries that first year of sobriety and that's the thing. You have to, this is what I have learned and what has worked best for me. I lived the complete opposite life that I was living in my sobriety. So that was me talking about it. That mm-hmm. was me shower crying. That was me sitting on a bench on a Friday night, sipping a cup of coffee. That was me doing Mod Podge, making these picture frames, those first 90 days and binge watching a wholesome show on Netflix at the time, where I wasn't watching My Real Housewives because that was too jarring for me at the time. Mm-hmm. I did everything opposite.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I sat down, and in that sitting down and getting quiet, that is where you do start to learn about yourself and what makes you you at this starting point. And the grieving process comes in with that. Mm-hmm. You know, the grieving process, grief waits for nobody. And you will have one because you have to grieve the person you once were and the identity you formed around that person. So like for me, I was like party girl, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to be like, well, who's going to want to be friends with me now that I'm not bringing that party aspect? But like looking back at it, nobody wanted to deal with my ass after midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like a gremlin. Like, you know what I mean? Like nobody wanted anything to do with me. It was like, and that's what my boyfriend Matt said to one of my girlfriends one time. He was like, you guys go out and drink with her, and then I have to deal what happens to her after midnight. I deal with the fallout. You're not here to see it, which is so true.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So, mm-hmm. So in terms of just, gosh, when you said like getting quiet and like listening to yourself, that I feel like can be a step one mm-hmm. in any struggle in life. And mm-hmm. that again, like bringing it full circle with this show, that is like, if I could give any sort of empowerment or like suggestions of, you know, that foundational step one, it's go take a fiver and kind of just listen to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Because yep. being in such a society of just everything's coming at you, the pressures, the expectations, the everything, it's very overwhelming. And when we learn to be able to disconnect from that and still stay true to ourselves, that's power. That's mm-hmm. so impactful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So let's unravel some mommy wine culture. I don't know. It's a trending. I don't even know. I've heard of it, but I don't know like if there's like an actual like definition or what it is. So like, tell me with, cause I know, I don't even know how to explain this, like what I'm trying to say, the societal pressures, right? How, talking to that struggling mom again, how would you help her kind of overcome that normalization of the mommy wine culture?
Yeah. So, well, the mommy wine culture is definitely like pro let's drink some wine at these play dates, like get together, all of that. Mm-hmm. I have not experienced that because thank God I see more of like, I needed to be sober before I had a child because I could not have gone from like, if I found out I was pregnant and then had to quit drinking alcohol that day, that would have been very hard. And I give a lot of women who still continue on with their sobriety journey who stop like that and go on. So I have never been in the throes of like, let's have a play date, let's sit there. But I've heard and I've witnessed, okay? I witnessed pre-child. And even to, I was a bartender for many years. When I left the medical field, I went back to bartending to help with income to build my Sober Vibes business.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see moms come in there with kids and have a couple glasses of wine each. And it was the midday. Okay. So this was just observing. Mm-hmm. Can I say, did they have a problem? I don't know, but is it really healthy then to sit there and drink 2 to 3 glasses of wine during a lunch with kids? Right. Mm-hmm. So the mommy wine culture really supports you drinking, even too, if you see a bunch of memes in that of like, oh, you need alcohol to parent. You don't, mm-hmm. you don't. You could come home and do a meditation. You could go for a walk. You don't, that's, you're trying to say you need alcohol to parent and that's your coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. And that is not healthy because then in 10 years, when mommy's got a problem and nobody wants to deal with her and the kids hate her and also now have their own issues because their mother had a drinking problem, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's just, it keeps, the mommy wine culture keeps people sick, but that's what the big alcohol companies are doing. They're keeping people sick. So with the mommy wine culture, somebody who's listening to this where it's like, yes, I participated in it and like, I don't want to. And it's okay to go to a play date and drink sparkling water or a Coke or bring a coffee. Or if you don't want a beverage at all, you don't need to drink anything. Like you have to allow yourself you have to be your own advocate to just be like, no, I don't want to drink at 1 p.m. Like, I still have things to do the rest of the day. And these gatherings then tend to go for like 3, 4 hours of us moms just sitting around, like ignoring these kids.
Sure.
Because that's what it is. So it's really like the mommy wine culture is just breeding more drinking problems. And it might not happen in that moment, but it's going to happen. So it's just like what alcohol has become for so many people, it's become like a whoopee. Okay. It's become like a little stuffy. And this is because my son has some stuffies and a little whoopee, but and that's what alcohol was for me. It was like this blanket where it got me out of my shell. And people use alcohol as a crutch to now be social
That
because
was
so
me,
many,
100%.
yes, because in that's in sobriety, you find out like, you know what? I always thought I was an extrovert. I always thought I was an extrovert. And in sobriety, I figured out that I was actually both. I was an extrovert, introvert. Like, I needed time to rejuvenate where I could go a whole day without talking to anybody, you know, and then I could be very social and being on. But like, I need those pockets during the week of even now, if I can just get like 45 minutes of not interacting with people, cool. Then that now recharges my fuel. But that's where you see, and a lot of people use alcohol as a crutch to either like get them out of their shell or being able just to experience to sit there without anxiety and hang out with people they actually don't want to hang out with.
For me, the biggest, it was the acknowledgement piece because you just hit that nail on the head with, yeah, I'm an introvert. I will say that time and time again. Like I love getting out and seeing my friends and things, but I was just talking to my mom the other day. I was like, it was Sunday. And she goes, are you okay? Are you sick? Why did you say you have to be home all day? I said, because I've been busy the past couple of days with the kids and we've been doing, out and doing stuff. And I'm like, I need that day to reset. Granted, I was with the kids, but it was just like, no, I'm fine. I needed that time. But the acknowledgement piece of, wow, I am using alcohol to be myself, and that was a big realization to where, okay, Jenna, this in this healing journey, let's do this without alcohol. And it's been beautiful because I'm me. Like it is, it's very, very beautiful.
Yeah, and there's a lot of moms that I've personally coached, you know, clients who are mothers, and there was one, and she kept stacking her schedule like she was still drinking alcohol. And when I say that, because there's got to be a shift in some things when you from drinking alcohol to when you go alcohol free, and she was still packing her weekends like she would have when she was drinking. And there was a weekend where she ended up relapsing, and I told her, I said, listen. You can't keep doing that because you running around doing the most with 30 activities, you are overwhelming yourself and you're burning yourself out. You were able to handle it before because you drank your way through it. And then on Monday, you woke up with the anxieties and the scaries and all of that. And like, oh my God, like you don't need to be doing 30 things in one weekend. I learned that too with myself. I don't stack my weekends with a list of BS because you do not need to be running around like that. Like take some time for yourself. Like I only allow myself 1 to 2 events on a weekend. Like if I have something going on Friday, I'm not going to do much on Saturday. I'm not going to go put myself in another social aspect because it's just not my thing. And I know that about me. And that's what women now have to start doing for themselves. And I know this is, you know, your audience is women, like, and men and women operate very differently because, again, men don't have a second clock, and that is their periods. They don't have that second clock. And so we are different human beings. We are completely opposite, right?
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
so, and when you find yourself keep doing extremely extroverted things and like just throwing out your energy, you have to keep protecting it. So, like, when you keep protecting your energy, it will lead to less and less and less of relapses. It's boundaries.
That's very well said. I'm glad that you brought that up because I didn't think of it like that, but it's true. It's very true. So, Courtney, what services do you offer? How can we find you? And I know you offer some courses, coaching, so let's dive into that a little bit.
Yep. So, well, I party most on all of these, on all of 1,000 social medias now that we have a day. I party most on Instagram. So you can find me at Sober Vibes over there. But I do one-on-one coaching. I have a group coaching community called The Fix. I have a self-guided course, you know, and then also too, I have my book that just came out in August 15th. And that is called Sober Vibes, A Guide to Thriving in Your First 3 Months Without Alcohol. And that's from my perspective of a sober coach, guiding you through those first 3 months of really what to expect, what to do. There's journal prompts in there. It's bright. It's great. There's a lot of feedback. And I've had people, a lot of positive feedback. And I've had people who are past that point. And even a couple years in, I had a client and she read it. She was like, this was a great refresher. Because you always constantly do. If you're on this sobriety journey and a lifelong one, you have to keep having refreshers down the road. You don't just give up alcohol and be like, all right, cool, I got it. Because then that's your ego speaking. And you have to keep that ego in check because that ego will get you to drink again.
Amen.
So it was it's very nice to hear from people who had many years of sobriety and read it and said it was there were things they didn't even think about that book said. So and then I'm on podcast Sober Vibes and there's over 155 episodes over there. So there's
Amazing.
lots of free resources too. I have a 30-day sober, not boring calendar that I made because the first week of me not drinking, I Googled hobbies because I had none. So I legit Googled hobbies and my Matt came home and he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm Googling hobbies. He's like, what are you talking about? And he laughed. Like we still laugh about it to this day. I was like, all I knew was drinking and working. Like I wasn't sitting there like, you know, wasn't sitting there reading. I barely picked up any books in my active addiction. And now I read every day. Like it's just so with the 30-day calendar, I give you an activity each day to do because a lot of these are all the things I always hear, the main things. I don't have anything to do. What are my friends gonna think? How do I tell people? So this calendar is really like it's giving you stuff to think about that you actually don't have to think about it. You just look at the calendar and it's like, okay, I'm gonna do that today.
I love that because it is like what works for some person might not work for the other. Like, but between journaling and reading and meditating, oh, like that step one, coming back to just like getting to know yourself, to listen to yourself, to build that confidence and belief that one, you can do it, but two, like to bring that love and that trust back to yourself also.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and then I have a free mocktails guide. I have a free it is the free guide to your morning and nighttime routine, you know, really yourself setting yourself up for success like that. So, you know, and even if it's just like you don't have to get them all, but get something and just start and just because also in my book too, I write a lot about overwhelm and it can get very overwhelming those first couple months, and I'm here not to overwhelm you. Just don't drink alcohol today. And if all you do is just get out of bed to brush your teeth and go back into bed and sleep the rest of the day and not drink alcohol, cool. You did it. That's not a failure because there's so now with like how you said of taking a break from social media, there's so many people telling you to do this, that, where you're like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? Yeah, it's information overload, you know, and it's too much. And that's why I recommend for anybody just to get kind of really quiet with themselves and go on this personal journey by yourself until you're ready to tell people. You don't have to tell people at day one. You don't need to sit there and be like, I'm an alcoholic. Here is my story. Let me trauma dump on you because guess what? You are not ready to do that. And there are people who don't deserve your story. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve your time or energy. So don't feel like you have to say like to people like, I'm giving up alcohol because I threatened my boyfriend's life and lost my cat for the second time. Like they just don't deserve that. There's just people who don't. And because the reaction that you get from them will be one that hurts your feelings.
And it comes back to that protecting your own energy and those boundaries. And being a people pleaser, I was just talking to my girlfriend. It was complete tangent, not about alcohol or this concept, but just being that people pleaser. And I'm like, I'm learning how to step back and set my boundaries when I give and give and give, and it's not reciprocated. So same type of situation to where you're just protecting yourself and protecting this journey that you believe in, you know, and you're not allowing the things to tear you back down.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. Everything that we talk about will be in the show notes. I can't wait to check out your Sober Vibes. You could get the book and the calendar and so many free resources. Thank you so much again for your time and spending your energy and space with me and our listeners today.
Thank you.
And until next week, my mamas, as always, simply be you. You have everything inside of you to reach your breakthrough. We're sending our love and light.
Did you find this episode relatable and compelling? Please give my review.
Thank you so much for spending this sacred time with me on the Balanced Mama the Podcast. I am sending you so much love and covering you in light, praying this episode has helped you in some way. And if it has, I'd be so grateful if you left a written review sharing how it's impacted your life. It truly lights me up hearing how you are on your way to your breakthrough. And also, please share this episode with another mom who may be struggling to remind her that we are never alone and to help give her that empowerment to take that first step. And be sure to check the show notes for additional ways to connect with me, our motherhood empowerment community, and if and when it feels good to you, learn how we could work together to help you reclaim your power, mama. Thank you. I appreciate all you are and all you do. Sending my love and light.